say happy day. Happy, happy, happy. I'll tell you, Easter is that moment. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's the one day that should really make your boat float. It's that one day that we recognize that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose on the third day. That's what we as believers celebrate on Easter. Can we give them some praise in the house of the Lord? I'm so glad each of you are here today, and we're going to have a good day in the Lord. We'll tell you a little bit about that in a little bit. Right now, just give someone a high five, handshake, a big hug, whatever. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. High five across the aisle. Amen, Alicia. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go before the Father, and let's ask God to... Hey, Valerie, give me a wave over there. There we go. All right. Back there. Hey. Let's go before the Father. Okay. Let's go before the Father, and let's give him praise in the house of the Lord, because if there's any place that you can give praise, it's in here. But what really pleases the heart of God is when you're out and about, being wherever you do it, and you're raising the praise and recognize that your risen Savior is on your side. He's with you. He's under you. He's over you. And he wants to do a great thing in you. Amen? Let's go before Father. Father, thank you so much. For this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Those watching online, Father, we just pray a blessing upon them as well. God, those here, Lord, may your spirit just continue to speak to our hearts. Change us, God, so that we are not the same, growing in your grace, in your power, and that your presence will continue to lead us, equip us, and fill us in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Let's worship the Lord. Well, we're so glad you're here. Today we want to talk about Jesus is your lifesaver. Now, I was going to have a bunch of life preservers here, because I might have about 25 brand new life preservers that I was selling and still selling. And so life preservers to me are very important. I don't just keep them on the boat because it's the law. I've had some situations and circumstances that I know they're important, especially when things happen in storms and stuff like that. But today I want to talk about Jesus is your lifesaver, and we gave you a lifesaver just as a cute little thing, because that's a life ring, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But Jesus Christ really broke time between BC and AD. And I don't know about you, but today we happen to live in a time where when we talk about God, God's not first on the list. I mean, we live in a culture today that we fit God in a schedule. He's not part of our schedule. But one of the things is as I got to see my family get saved one by one, my mom kind of like being the last one. And today, when's the last time you ever saw me in white? Anybody could, you know, probably one time a year, and it's on Easter. And the reason being is... me and my mom, we were pretty close, and of course we took care of her for the last part of her years. And one day I wanted to go buy some suits and some overcoats and different things like this. And I can sometimes, like, I like some, had smiley heart, smiley faces all over the thing, and I thought it was neat, and she thought, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, well, Mom, it depends how you look at it. And so I came across this one here, and I'm like, huh, I've never been in a white suit. And she said, you? You couldn't keep that thing clean if you tried. Now, she has some truth. I mean, many times someone have, I be in a suit at times, and or be dressed up, and someone have problems with their car, and there I go into fixing their car in a suit. So I have ruined a lot of clothes. There's no question about it. But I said, Mom, I can keep this thing clean. And she says, well, I don't think you're going to look good in it anyhow. She was so encouraging. And so she was. At times. Anyhow, so when I first wore this thing, when I wore this here, she looked at me and said, you look ridiculous. And I said, Mom, thanks so much. But I said, Mom, you know what I'm going to do? Every Easter, because it was happening to me, I said, every Easter, I'm going to wear this, and I'm going to always think of you. So every time out east it comes. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna wear my suit because me and my mom had so much fun, and this just caused so much fun. It was like a harassing each other type of fun that we had together. But I really grown to like it. And so I like, as I get older, I'm starting to like a little colors. George, your colors there are a little, I'm not there yet, okay? But that being said, I just want to say, may you all have a blessed Easter today. Those online, may you have a blessed Easter. If you're watching it after Easter, I pray it was good for each and one of you. Today we're going to talk about this beautiful story of Easter because it's a love story. How many of you want to be loved? Raise your hand. Come on. If you don't raise your hand, you're lying. Because all of us want to be loved, but sometimes, I don't know why, but we're always so busy to the one who loves us the most. And I know, because I've been on both sides of the streets. I'm talking to a guy who's almost died so many times because of a lifestyle. And I've also can understand, and not even just a lifestyle, but just accidents that take place. I was a magnet for these accidents. I don't know why. I've been electrocuted right from the telephone pole. I've had a 350-pound man fall on my head at 25 feet in the air. I can go on and on. I had a scuba diver accident that I almost, in a sense, could have perished if it wasn't for a voice speaking to me what to do. There's a lot of different situations that have come into my heart and life, and I want you to understand, I am so grateful that Jesus is my life ring. I am so grateful that Jesus is my life preserver, because if it wasn't for him, you would have a different pastor, because I would no longer be here, and I would no longer have four beautiful children, and on the way, six grandchildren. All because God's grace of intervention, because I yielded my heart to the Lord. And so we want to just challenge you today a little bit, because so many times we are so busy. Please never be so busy for the one who loves you the most. Amen? It all started at Christmas, didn't it? The incarnation of Christ. Jesus came. How many love Christmas? Raise your hand. You love Christmas. I love Christmas. Yes. I love the lights. But I love the beginning of this journey that we celebrate Easter is Christmas, because it's about Jesus coming into the world. And when you live in a dark place and Jesus comes in it, he illuminates everything that's in your life. And so in this great incarnation, Jesus came. And listen to this one portion of Scripture. The first promise, the greatest words spoken, are found in these two things, starting with Christmas and Resurrection Sunday. Or I should say, the birth of the Lord and Resurrection Sunday. Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, at the incarnation of Christ. Suddenly a great crowd of company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Someone say, that's where it started. And then when we go to Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6, the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus, in their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men, the angels, said to them, "Why do you look among the dead for the..." Why are you looking among... Excuse me. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Look at Jamie and say, he finally got that right. "He's not here, he's risen." Someone say, he's risen. He is risen indeed. So the start of this big, great plan is where we're celebrating. Why the celebration? If it wasn't for the resurrection, Christianity would have no power. Christianity would have really not the story that it has, because the one thing people fear is death. Because death is unknown. I have been at numerous deathbeds when they gave up their last breath. I have been in numerous, even family members, in the same thing. And I want you to understand something. Life is a precious gift from God. Don't mess with it, because no one's promised a tomorrow. I've experienced that personally. I'll tell you a story. We mentioned on one of our lists of people is our nephew Jordan. Jordan was a vitacious individual, and he was being a youth pastor, and everything was good. And we married him. What state was it? It was in Michigan, and it was a beautiful day, Everything was wonderful. And really, he was going to get on the road to go to his honeymoon. And I said, listen, you guys are so tired. I mean, you're exhausted. He says, I can barely stand. I said, it's really not good to drive. And I said, why don't you get a hotel and then take on your honeymoon the next day? I thought that was good advice. Everything was really great. Because they could never make it. They were so exhausted. If you've been married and you've gone through it, you know how exhausted you are at the end of the day. Someone say amen. Maybe you're still exhausted. But nevertheless, on the way there, they had a massive accident, and he died on the spot. Not even married 24 hours. Now, one of the things that people always say is, why? See, you have to understand, it's not a why, is are you ready? Because he was ready. I don't know why. No one of us know why. But that's when we trust the Lord, that he knows more than we know, and that's where we have to go with. There's a lot of things that take place in life. I understand it because in my profession or what I do, I see it all the time. But that's why I warn. I share because I care. Life can be a wonderful thing. Yeah, there are some tough things that happen in life. Yes, there is. But there's a God. I have seen God. And even in Paula's sister and brother and sister-in-law, what God did in their life and is doing in their life. Now they're counseling other people in their times of need. You see, God takes the pain and then gives a purpose. We may not understand it, but that's how God works. He takes our pain and gives us purpose. And in that purpose, we get to glorify God. We get to live in God. And we get to see what God is trying to do in us, through us, and around us. This is the beautiful thing. It started with the birth. Continued with Jesus living on earth for 33 plus years and then dying and resurrected on the third day. And this is the beautiful thing, is that how many of you have ever seen this? How many have been on a cruise ship or any ship? This is called a life ring. And it's very, very important, because if you ever seen someone go overboard and stuff, the first thing you want to do, the first thing is you don't call 911, you throw out the life ring right away, because that boat is traveling. And if that life ring is not thrown out at the right moment, that person will never get to the life ring with the currents and with the winds and with the boat moving. So that's the first thing you do. The first thing people are trained to do is throw the life ring out. On April 15th, 1912, the Titanic plunged 12,000 feet into the Atlantic floor. Some 2 hours and 40 minutes after, an iceberg tore 300-foot gash in the starboard side. That's the right side of the boat. One survivor put it, "I saw all the horror of it sinking, and I heard even more dreadful, the cries of the drowning people." We all know the fact that they were not enough lifeboats. But what's really heartbreaking is that the lifeboats that went over weren't full, because people didn't want to get in the lifeboats. When the 20 lifeboats were launched, not full, there was only one boat out of the 20 boats, boat number 14. It rowed back to the scene, terrible scene, 2:20 a.m. alone, and it chased the cries of those that were yelling out for hope, that had a life preserver on, and rescued as many as they can. However, the tragic of this story is that 19 boats did nothing. And they did nothing because of fear. They were afraid. They were secure. They were okay in their boat. But if we go try to help someone, everybody's going to come to the boat, and they're going to tip it over, and we're going to drown. Here's the strange part. Boat number 14 saved lives, and they all told their story about it, and it didn't tip over. I want to share this with you on an Easter Sunday to say, saints of God, if you know the Lord, you are accountable and responsible. This is a crazy age, and if you think it's getting tough now, you've seen nothing yet. I want you to understand something. When you have the Lord on your side, I don't care what circumstance or situation, and I don't care what the world may do, God will see you through because his power is more than able. Amen? I've seen it so many times. I've seen it in my own body and the miracles he's worked in me. I've seen it in other people and the miracles he's worked in them. I have just seen too many miracles of God's intervention when the doctor said one thing and then all of a sudden one simple prayer and all of a sudden they're out of the hospital the next day. I don't understand it, but I've seen it and I know it. And no matter when it doesn't happen, I trust him anyhow because he knows the beginning and the end. Our job is not to question really as much as it is to trust. Most people stay on the question more than the trusting. We understand so little in life, but we go around thinking we understand so much. And we go by what other people say, or we go by how I feel. Well, faith and feeling will never marry because they're contrary to the truth. And saints, sometimes we fear what someone may say to us because when we stand up for Christ, we're afraid about what other people think of us. We're like the people in the 19 boats that don't even say nothing to someone who needs the Lord. But we just keep the truth to ourselves. And we think about only one boat out of 20 was willing to help people screaming for help. Suppose you were on the life preserver and you were screaming for help. Would you want someone to come help you? You sure would. You sure would. Let me share this with you. Life's three greatest question of existence. Why am I alive? Why am I here? That's the number one thing people want to know. Why am I here? Number two is the questions of significance. Does my life matter? Do I have value? And number three, the questions of intention. What's my purpose? Every single person is asking about their existence, significance, and their intention. Every single one of us. And if you don't have those answers to life, then you're going to struggle. You're going to be like a roller coaster. You're going to be like not knowing. You're going to be over here one moment and then changing your mind and going over here. Your mind's going to be changing. The map is all over the place. It's not consistent. It's not a steady ride. It's, I don't know. We'll see. You see, I believe 100% when you walk in the Lord, there are moments and seasons. But for the majority, you know exactly what God is trying to do in you, through you, and around you. So ask yourself, why am I here? Does life matter? And why? What's my significance? What's my part? And the intentionality aspect, the intention, what's my purpose? Each one of you have a purpose. Look at your neighbor and encourage them and says, you have a great purpose. Come on, don't laugh. That's not convincing if you tell them that and you laugh. You got to say, you have a great purpose. Let's read the portion of scripture. Found in Luke chapter 24. Let's read it. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the tomb rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two angels in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Remember. Excuse me. Let me get this right. Remember, he told you while he was still with you, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of a sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When he came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But listen to the apostles. They are so human. I love when people elevate them so much. So human, but it's great. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what had happened. You have to remember, this moment was really hard for the disciples. They had such high expectations. Have you ever had a moment where it seems like the bottom just fell out from underneath you? Something happens and it just is a blow, is a blow. Jesus crucified on the cross was a major blow to the disciples because they thought he was going to be the savior that was going to redeem Israel from the oppression of Rome. And when Jesus comes back, like we talked about on Palm Sunday last week, when Jesus comes back, he first came on a donkey, and that was the peace he was about to bring to all people. But the next time he's coming back, he's going on a horse, and that's where he's going about to do war. And that you see in the book of Revelation. So Jesus one day is going to come the way the Jewish people thought he was going to come, on a horse and with power and with majestic and with authority. Yes, that is your Lord. That is your God. But he first came to bring a deliverance so you can have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And so you can be rectified and sanctified and get into right relationship as you make Jesus your Savior. So that being said, look what happens. The ladies go to the tomb. Now, the rock probably weighed about 3,000 to 4,000 pounds, so a ton and a half to 2 tons. And in one of the portions, they said, how are we going to move this big rock? That was they're talking about this. But when they finally get there, the rock's been moved. Someone say the rock's been moved. Makes me think when I was just pondering this and kind of talking to the Lord about it. I'm like, God, when we have a problem in life, and if we walk with you, you're the one that can take these big rocks, these big problems, these situations, these circumstances, and you can move them. Someone say amen. Because your God can move these big rocks. Amen. Something that's 2 tons is not a big deal for God, but it's a big deal for you. Most people believe that, as you read and research this, that more than 20 men couldn't move this by themselves. So it was very... Bringing it in was easy. It was taking it, moving it back. They usually had it on a little bit of an incline, and so it had, gravity was really good to put it in place. It was to take the roll the stone away. That was a little bit more work. I want you to see the ladies here. They are looking at a tomb, and it says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" He's saying, listen, he's not here. He's risen. And what it makes me think here is that so many people are looking for joy. Is joy good? Raise your hand if you think joy is good. Yeah. How about peace? Everybody like peace? Hope, eternity. These are all wonderful. Forgiveness. All of these wonderful things come from the Lord. However, when it comes to looking for the living, looking for hope, people have a tendency of looking for those things that's going to bring them down. They get addicted to all kind of addictions, drugs, and all type of things take place in their lives. And they bring things in their lives that causes problems. It doesn't help them. It actually hurts them even more. Because they're looking for life, but they're looking in all the wrong places. It's like the song, looking for love all in the wrong places. Jesus said, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you are worried and burdened, and I will give you, I love this, rest. I remember the day where I finally said yes to Jesus. I mean, I was all in. And I was a guy that you would never think this guy would get saved, because I had a form of godliness, but man, not a relationship with God. And there's a big deal. There's a big difference. Take my yoke upon you, the Bible says, and learn of me, Jesus says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Now, I want you to recognize in verse 7, it says this. Jesus told the disciples on numerous occasions how he was going to die. I want you to understand this. 13 times in the scripture, Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to die or his time is coming to an end. In Mark 8:31-32, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Someone say rise again. In Mark, again, the book of Mark is the earliest gospel we have. And in the book of Mark, 3 times it is mentioned on 3 different occasions, Jesus. But in the whole scripture, 13 times it's talked about of how Jesus was going to die. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them, what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem. That's clear, he said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, that's whip, and kill him. Watch this now. 3 days later, he will rise. Someone say that's clear. So the angel actually reminds him, don't you remember what he had to go through? I don't know, but God gave us the greatest example when he lived. I mean, I think about his forgiveness. He came to give forgiveness. But even on the cross, here you got two thieves that deserve death because of their actions. Here's Jesus on the cross, and Jesus says to one who says, hey, remember me when you come into paradise. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. God, even in pain, even on the cross, he looks to the thief, and what does he do? He forgives him. People say, well, I'm too bad and all this kind of junk. I laugh. You know how many times I've heard this? Pastor, if I come to church, your roof's going to fall in. If I come to church, your walls are going to fall out.
You're good.
I said, well, I came in and it stood up. I came in a big building in front of a lot of people and it still stood. So let me tell you something. Paul the Apostle said he was the chief of all sinners. And he said, hey, he's the worst of the worst. And yet God used him the most. Don't tell me that God can't pick you up and get you going. Don't tell me about your past, because I don't want to really focus on it. I want to talk about your future. It's not where you've been, it's where you're going. God's always trying to do a work in us and through us. And Jesus came to do some great works through you and I. And he tells them, listen, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to be mocked. But don't worry. In 3 days, I'm going to defeat sin, death, and the grave. I'm going to be the conqueror that all humanity needs, so that there could be a bridge brought between the Father and you. We're now all of a sudden now, because I stand in the gap, making that bridge, you now can find forgiveness. Bringing it all back to the Garden of Eden when the separation took place, when sin came to the equation. Saints, listen, Easter is not just about little cute little fuzzy bunnies and eggs and candy and all that stuff there. That's what the world focuses on, because they don't want to focus on the real reason. And that was all grafted in through culture. And that's why the word Easter comes if you do your research. Christmas, the same thing. But that does not take away the validity of Christmas, of the birth of Jesus coming into the world to provide salvation for all humanity. And it doesn't take the validity away from what Jesus Christ has done on the resurrection, defeating death in the grave, and the sin that so embound us. You see, if they could have produced a body, let me tell you something, if they could have produced a body, they would have. The hatred that the people had at that time, the religious leaders for Jesus, you could not imagine. Because if just to watch someone be crucified and know that the man's innocent and still be okay with it shows you the depth of evil within the heart. Even Pilate himself said, I find no fault in him. And yet, when people are so inwardly hating and evil, they only care about one thing, their own thing. But God wallowed on the cross. I love it. While the ones that put him on the cross, in mercy and grace, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Now that's powerful. Amen. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Do you have a need? We all do. But we can find grace and mercy going to God. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. Both four questions, and I asked three, but I want to focus on this one here. The questions that most people ask are those three plus this one last one. Who are you? Why in the world are you here? What are you going to do in life? And where are you going after you die? People tell me all the time, well, they're just going to lock me in a box. I said, well, if you can believe that and look at everything around you and look at everything that has been made, Romans 1 says, man is without excuse because of just what God has made, testifies of an intelligent design. And that intelligent design is the God of all creation. If you look at the universe, you'll see how small our Milky Way is. It's very small compared to other galaxies. Because everything is like a clock. Everything holds everything in. It's an impressive, impressive creation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ provides all that we need. God knows exactly what we need for life. Jesus came to earth. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose from the dead and provided every answer we need for life and eternity. Someone say, praise the Lord. But the only way you find the answers is in the book. The B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. And it's not about knowing the book. It's about living the book. Amen? So just say it with me. It's not about knowing. It's about doing. The Bible says, don't be hearers of the word, lest you deceive yourself. Be doers of the word. People struggle with identity. Today, we ever needed some help with the Lord. Today, people are struggling with identity in so many ways. God gives you identity. I'll be honest with you. When I was younger, I mean, I was going through an identity crisis in a different process of a way. I had a lot of things in life that people used to make fun of me and stuff, and those things carried, and I went through some really difficult, dark nights when I was in seminary. And when I was in seminary, God really brought my identity to full circle, where I recognized who I am and why I'm on earth. It's an important question to ask, who I am and why I'm on earth. I understood my core values. You see, when you get in the Word of God, He's going to help you find identity. People are struggling to find love, but they're looking all the wrong places. But if you find the love, if you find this love, you're going to know how to love this way. People that have not seen love because they're brought up in a family that love is not there. People don't know what love is. Well, what's love look like? Well, you know, I'm tired of these people. They don't know how to love, and I've had people that don't love me all the way. I just want to find someone who loves me. There is someone who loves you. His name is Jesus Christ. He loves you more than you can ever know. He loves you so much that He stretched out His arms and He died. When you find in that scripture, you'll find that great love. You're struggling with love, get in the scriptures. You're struggling with identity, get in the scriptures. God's going to help you. You're struggling with finding peace. You don't have peace because you feel like you're surrounded with pain and pressure and not having purpose. I'm going to tell you, once you get into the Word of God, God's going to give peace to His people. But it's going to come in the Word of God. You're struggling with finding your purpose, finding that direction. It comes with the One who created your map, who leads you. He'll help you. He'll give you the strength you need. Look at your neighbor and say, get in the book. Get in the book. The celebration of the resurrection is about the promise of God. It's about the purpose of God. It's about the presence of God. It's about the power of God. It's about the position God has given you and me and the plan that He has for you. The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has for those who love Him. Man, look at your neighbor and say, that's good. Man, the resurrection declares to the world that life is stronger than death. Right is stronger than wrong. Love is stronger than hate. Christ is a victory over sin and death. And Christ has defeated Satan and is victorious. And He has defeated the enemy of God. In the book of Revelation, you're going to see. If you read it, you read it. And they finally, Jesus comes back and puts the devil and all the lairs into place. And they're going to say, is this the one that caused all this havoc? Is this the one that caused nations to fear? Is this the one? Because it ain't going to be much of a fight when that great fight finally takes place and God makes all things right. You want to do a great study, study the first 3 chapters in Genesis and the last 3 chapters of Revelation, and you're going to see what God starts, He's going to finish. I know people say, well, why is all this evil taking place in this world? You know what? It is a process. is a process. It is a test of the heart of man. So man, and I mean everybody, can choose who are they going to follow. They follow their own life, their own ways, their own whatever, or they're going to obey what God has says. The choice is before all of us. The life preserver has been given. All we have to do is hang on to it. Someone say, hang on. A very religious man in Africa was very religious. He was known throughout his community. True story. And he turned to Christianity. So some of the people came up to him and said, I don't understand. A man of your prestige has turned to Christianity. I don't understand why you did that. He said, well, it was very simple. Think of it this way. I was walking on a road one day, and the road brought me to a fork. And on the fork, there was two roads. And I really had to ponder which one I wanted to go on. He said, on one road, there was a dead man. And on another road, there was a man who's alive. Who would you ask for answers? Jesus Christ is very much alive. That's why they found no body. They have all these theories of what happened. Some actually believe that he was dead and came alive because of the coolness of the grave. There's so many things. Jesus was speared in the side because the Jewish people wanted them off the cross because of Passover. And what came out of his side was blood and water. There was a separation between the blood and the serum. And when that takes place, that's one indication of what death is a separation. By the way, I don't know that anybody of you can go what he went through and then be speared in the side and through the lungs and through the heart and still live? Really? Then you're straining for a gnat and swallowing a camel. You see, I tell you this because, one, I love you. I tell you this, but two, God's asked me to share this with you. And what you see is what you get. If you know me, I only have one side. And that is a side that just wants to tell people about Jesus. Today, people believe what other people say. We live in a world today that people don't want to do their own research. Oh, Lord, behold. We'll just listen to what everybody says. But at one time, did you know that during the time of George Washington, they believed bloodletting was good and medically proven by science? And so George Washington had a fever. He was very sick. And so they started to bleed his blood. And then they did it again. And then they did it again. I think they did it 4 times before he died. And guess what? George Washington died. Why did he die? They took all his blood out on a weakened body. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and let me see, do I have this here? I'm gonna see if I got it here. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It's also kind of funny in how it's all changed now. The problem is we just believe things, and I say, test and see. God is good. I've been down too many roads. I've seen too many things. You couldn't get me no other way. I'm in it to win it. Because God is exactly who he said he is, and he'll do exactly what he said he would do because he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful, and he's with his children. Leviticus 17:11, the life is in the flesh, and it's in the blood is life. You take life out of it. Our bloodline, our blood is our life. But that's not what they believed. They thought maybe the fever would go if we get the blood out. Here's another thing that people used to believe in the 1600s. You had Copernicus and Galileo. Copernicus came up with this. Galileo brought it to the full version. And he said, wait a minute. The earth rotates around the sun. They believed the sun rotated around the earth. And they believed that the earth was flat. Galileo said, no, the earth is round, and the earth revolves around the sun. He got in so much trouble, so much persecution, because the culture at that time had a different belief system. Can someone understand where I'm going? Reality is they really knew what the scripture was. The scripture is very cool. Isaiah says, 40:22, it says, God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. So, let's think this through. Is the earth flat? No. Because God sits above the circle of the earth, the circumference of the earth. And watch this. It goes on to say, and its people are like grasshoppers. You see, no one gets in the book. Now, here's a disadvantage. People back then didn't have the book like we had the book today. See, only the, you know, the religious people had the scriptures, and so back then they did communication and culture by pictures, by art in some sense. That's why you sometimes you go, you see all these pictures, you got the stages of the cross, and that's how they communicated. But the reality is, if people were to study to show their self-approval and went to the scriptures, you would see God would say that his life is in the blood. You would see that he sits on the circumference of the earth, the circle of the earth, and we people are like grasshoppers. How many of you want to hop to a next seat? How about this? People tell you all kind of things. This is what, and I people say, well, science. Listen, if anybody's a fan of science, you're looking at them. Don't give me this, science is different than God. God is science. Everything created was by him. That incredible DNA that you have, so different. Each one of you, so different. Every snowflake, so different. The design. Don't talk about science. My God is science. He's the captain of science. He created science and spoke it into existence. They say that we should believe the earth travels through space at 66,700 miles an hour. The earth is about 93 million miles away from the sun. The average radius of the earth is 3,957 miles. The sun diameter is 100 times that of the earth. So if you lined up 100 earth end to end and stretch it across the sun, it would go to end to end with 100 earth. You could put 1 million earth inside the sun. This is what they tell you. But if I go up to someone who believes all these things that I don't know, did you measure it? Because if you believe it, I'd like to know who measured the sun. Because I bet you more people who believe it hasn't measured it. They're just saying, well, that's what they say. We always go by what they say. Well, why can't you go by what God's word says? Because as soon as we mention anything that God's word say, oh, people don't believe that. Oh, that's because, you know why? Yeah. My dad just say, you know what, Brian? That book's been written so many times that we don't know the truth. And I said to my dad, well, Dad, if that's true, then every human being has an excuse before God. But that's not what the scripture says. And if God's book has been given to us, don't you think he's going to keep his book? Sometime later, I was translating the document that was 300 years old, 300 years after Christ. I was translating it into English from Greek, and did my translation on my paragraph. And then my teacher told me something that I never thought. He said, go ahead and now check it to a literal translation. And a literal translation of the New American Standard Bible is a very literal translation. And so I checked my work against a document that's very old, wondering how did I do. You want to know how I did? I'll tell you next week. Oh, no. I used to do that all the time. I used to love it. My translation was word for word. I was so excited because the first thing was not like, yay, it's the same thing. No, I thought I did it right. You see, so I translated. It took me a little while to do. I came home that day, and my dad kind of started all over again about that topic. I said, Dad, wait a minute. I come, got my work. I said, listen, this is what I did today. I had a document, and I showed him the document, a copy of it. And I showed him the document, and I said, I translated this into English. This is a document that's 300 years old, 300, okay? That's about 200 plus years after Jesus. And I said, this is a pretty accurate document, and we have thousands and thousands of documents of the New Testament. People always talk about, you know, translations and all that type of things and variants and stuff like this. Any variant, and a variant is something that's different from manuscripts, any variant is so small. We're talking about punctuation, we're talking about periods, we're talking about, it doesn't change what's being said. So we have thousands of that type of stuff. And some of our own philosophies and stuff, we have less of that material, but everybody believes what they said. Nevertheless, I showed it to him. I said, Dad, this is the document. This is where I came. He said, well, okay. I said, let me show you a modern Bible today. opened up the Bible that I had. I said, Dad, I want you to see. This is what I did. This is it. And this is what the Bible says. Tell me what the difference is. He reads it. He says, there's no difference. But Dad, that's what I've been trying to tell you. God is quite capable of keeping the lines in the parking lot straight. He rules and reigns. And if he didn't rule and reign, man would have blew themselves up 10 times already. Let me tell you something. There is going to be a time where mass craziness is going to take place. Read the book of Revelation. There is going to be a time, but it's not until the time, until the whole world knows, gets to hear, gets a chance to choose. It's not until then. It's when that happens, let me tell you, saints, things will about to change. You can see the winds blowing already, but you haven't seen nothing yet. I want you to know, this is more than just a holiday. Easter was a holy day that the Savior of all creation, the one who made all things, rose from the dead, defeated sin, death, and the grave, and provided a way for you and I to come before the throne of the Heavenly Father and be innocent because of his blood, of what he's done. Look what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us this beautiful portion. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. When the Bible was written, it was written in a masculine form, and that's when it says men, it means everyone. For it says, so that men are without excuse. Why? Because of all the invisible qualities and eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Everything that God has shown. When you see the birds flying in their flock in their wonderful V, God designed. Everything's designed. The Bible says in John 1, 10 and 12, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, this is Jesus, he, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came to his people that he called for, to be a nation. But his own did not receive him. But watch this. 12 just rocks. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Someone say children of God. Woo, praise the Lord. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is where I just want to get out of my socks right now and just do a holy dance. I mean, I get kind of excited to recognize all that God has done for me, all how he's loved me. But you know what? He's done it all for you too. Can you give him some praise? John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. There's only one way. People say, well, that's very dogmatic. One way. I mean, gee whiz. Well, if you're going to get to your destination, there's usually, sometimes there's only one road to get there. But we're okay with all the other roads that bring us to our destination. Jesus is the only one that died for your sins. Jesus is the only one. Over 300 prophecies fulfilled them for you, and then did what he said he was going to do. Amen. That's why Christianity is always attacked, and that's why you can believe that your power is spaghetti with hot sauce. You can stick your feet in it, and then people say, hey, that's okay with you. You mention Jesus Christ, it changes everything. Let me tell you a story. I was in the hospital. I shared this story a couple times. So if you heard it before, pretend you never heard it before. It's like, oh, that's great. I was in the hospital. I was going down, visited someone, coming out of the hospital. Someone came up to me and said, hey, you a pastor? I did not look like a pastor. Not that day. Not that day. And so I just came as I was, and I just visited someone, and they said, you a pastor? I'm like, yes. And he told me this really dire need of their family member who was in ICU. He said, would you mind praying for them? And I said, sure. So I went in their room. Once he announced that I was the pastor, I lost almost more than half the room. They just got out of the way. Now, I understand that. I truly understand that. Love it. I mean, I do love those people. You know, God bless you. I totally understand. But I lost a whole captain. When you mention Jesus, you know, you can really mess some people up because it's, I don't know why, Jesus loves, cares, forgiveness. God does all these, wants to give all these wonderful things, but they have a problem with it. So I, all these people, now I'm stuck with probably about 6 or 7 people left in the room because there was a lot, like 20-something people. It was jammed. The person was getting ready to die. They weren't enforcing hospital rules, and that's good. I'm happy sometimes for that, especially in those cases. And so I prayed for this lady. And before I did, I said, listen, this is how it is. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do here. But I said, I believe that God can change this, and he can change this to show you that he rules and he reigns. And God does things sometimes that's so spectacular, he'll do them for you so you may see, you may know that there is a God in heaven, and he's over all things. And so he said, if you don't mind, I'm not going to pray, God, well, now as she's getting ready to die, I'm going to pray that God extends her life and that you'll be able to see the power of God. And so they said, hey, Pastor, you pray however you want. I'm like, amen, all right. So that's what I did. I prayed, and I prayed whole heart, man, I really did. And when I opened my eyes, that lady was the same. Nothing changed. I left that day, came back to the hospital to visit someone, a different person, and I ran across someone. They said, hey, Pastor. And I'm like, I didn't remember him. It took me a while. He said, remember me from yesterday? And he gave me the story. I'm like, yes. I said, how is your grandmother doing? She said, I'm coming to take her home. A man of God am I am, okay? Man of faith. I said, what? And she says, yeah. He said, they don't know what happened. She said, all of a sudden, she started ripping things out and like this. She had her old spunk again. And she says, they said, come and get her. She's ready to go home. Normally, they don't do that. See, it's always a step down. It's like you're in this level, then you have a step down. Hey, you know what? The guy said, she is so feisty and she is so ready to go home. I'm coming to pick her up. All the tests came back great. She's wonderful. And I'm like, took a moment. I thanked the Lord underneath my breath. And I said, okay, I want you to understand. I know you don't know much about God. I know your family don't know much about God. But there is a God. And there is a God that is not limited on nothing. It's only limited by our own self-limited beliefs. But if you can understand and you have seen what God has done, you were there, don't ever forget it. Now it's your step to get to know this God. And I gave him some information about God. I invited him to church. You know, I did the whole thing. And I said, listen, I'm going to leave you. Don't know if I'll ever see you again. But God has done a work. He has done a work for you and your family. Now, what are you going to do with it? You can forget about it and just say, yay. Or you can really be thankful and grateful and recognize what God has done and let him change your life. That's what I prayed for them. Revelation chapter 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. How many want to eat a meal with the master? I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to eat a meal with the master. I don't know what he's having, hopefully fish, but I don't know what he's having, but I tell you what, I can't wait to have a meal with the master, but the master is always asking, are you ready? I'm knocking on your heart. All you have to do is say, come in. I share this with you because that's what happened to me. God knocked on my heart. Wasn't prepared for it, wasn't expecting it, but he knocked on my heart. And today, Jesus Christ is risen. When he said this on the cross, it is finished. The Bible says before the foundation of the earth, Christ was to come. There was a plan. And the cross and the resurrection was the completeness of it all. That's why Easter is so important. I pray that you do not take your faith lightly. I pray that you don't allow life to consume your time and then get to the end of life missing the majors and focus on the minors. I pray that you would really, really stop and think all that God wants to do in you and through you. It's so important. Can you stand to your feet? I'm so grateful that you're here this morning. I really am. To me, I love coming together as a body of Christ, worshiping the Lord. I love coming together and focusing on what Jesus has done. Because Resurrection Sunday is every single Sunday. Someone say amen. Amen. And I remind myself that. It's nice to see some people dress up on a special occasions. Kind of see you smile a little bit. It's always nice. Good to see you. And God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Close your eyes for a second with me. The real question of the heart is, who are you? Why are you here? What's your purpose? Those online, why are you here? Who are you? What's your purpose? We spend so many things chasing so many things, missing the one who loves us the most. And every time we chase all these things and miss the most important, we really miss out on all that God wants. I'm going to give you a challenge today. I took this challenge. I'm going to challenge you. If you died right now, is heaven your home? I don't care if you have 10 zeros after a whole number in your bank account. That means nothing in the light of eternity. I don't care how big square foot your house is and how many cars you have in a garage. That means nothing when it comes to eternity. I don't care if you're the most popular person in the whole city. That means nothing when it comes to eternity. The Bible says, what if a man gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? He has profit nothing. What's the most important thing is eternity. And I want to challenge you today about your eternity. I do this every Sunday, not just on Easter, because you are valuable. You have purpose. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are. But if you're not sure about your eternity, you can be today. If you have sinned, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the gift of God is a gift for us to receive. The gift of God is eternal life. And if you want to 100% know that heaven's your home, I'm going to ask you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, personal Savior. I'm going to ask you to really think about your eternity. Not religion. If you ever know a pastor that dislikes religion, you're looking at him. Religion will not help you. Relationship, that will fill you. It'll help you have a relationship horizontally better when you understand the relationship vertically. You got to get the vertical before you get the horizontal. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that, but you would want Jesus Christ to be your friend, your Savior. You believe he died on the cross for you. You believe that he rose from the dead, defeating death in the grave, and you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know you can feel the burning within your heart right now of God speaking to your heart. Don't worry about anybody. God's speaking right now. The Holy Spirit is trying to minister to you because you are loved. And if that's you, just raise your hand right where you are and say, yes, I want to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Those online, if you want to know Jesus per Savior, God can see your hand right where you are. Raise your hand. Yes. 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 Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just, I want you to know, this is the most important thing. Most important thing. God is so good. He has a plan. He has such a greater plan of peace and joy and purpose. And, you know, not every day is going to be a rock star. But every day is a day you can walk hand in hand with God. Just one more time, I want to make sure that heaven's your home. If you're not sure, if you died right now, it's not by good works at all. It's about being saved and accepting what's on Jesus Christ. It's not about how good you are. Blessed be the name. Yes, yes, yes. Blessed be the name. God is good. I want those that raise your hands, just come meet me in front. Could you do that? Can we give God some praise in the house of the Lord? Don't ever let hindrances stop you, for there is an enemy who always wants to stop what God wants to do in us. Listen to that soft voice, because saints, let me tell you something. If you don't pay attention to that soft voice, the longer you don't pay attention to it, you will not even start to hear that voice anymore, because it gets singed by our own conscience with our own choices. Listen to the heart of God. He has a plan. His plan's the best. He wants to help you, and not only wants to help you, but he wants to fill you with his spirit and give you new life. Can you give him some praise? Thank God. Praise God for who he is and all he's done.